KB4 CPA Mobile.
In 0TR.
What are you up to? I know you're getting in some kind of trouble.
Getting ready to go outside and take the chicken some stuff and gather the eggs and sitting here watching Tombstone Territory.
Well, that blast's an old one. I tell you, I can't tell you the last time I saw that. A series of that. Probably when I was when we were still on the black and white TV. That's how long that's been. My dad actually won his first color TV, and the funny thing about it was this lady was going to put a dollar in for this raffle for the TV, and I think the American Legion was giving it away, and he's a veteran, and he wasn't even going to enter, and he gave her a dollar and said, yeah, put this in for me, because she asked about it. And so sure enough, he won the TV. It was a 25-27 inch color TV. It was nice.
I remember those days, and if you ran your sweeper too close to them, you'd have to degauss them. Then they build in a degausser to degauss it when it starts, which you might not know anything about, but at any rate, it's on every day. If you had an over-the-air antenna, it's on 21-5, and 4-2 is MeTV. Gunsmoke's over there, but I seen that one not very long ago. But oh gosh, they got some great old shows on Grit TV, GRIT. It's 21-5. And then I like to watch 31-5 on the weekend. On Saturday is Bye Bye Black Sheep and Tour of Duty and the Unit. It used to be Combat, but now it's the Unit. The Unit's on at noon every day on one of those channels. I don't know if you remember that one or not.
I remember the Unit. I like that show. They've gone through a lot of changes, and so we try to keep up with it. But heck, I can remember we used to watch in black and white. I believe we used to watch Combat and the one I can't remember the one that had the the Jeep with like a 30 caliber anchored to the back of it on a podium, on a pedestal, you know, where they could swing it around any way they wanted to, and Rat Patrol or something like that.
But I think your caliber's wrong. I think it was a 50 cal, because it shoots at a much slower rate than a 30 cal. But, I wasn't too crazy about that. Those were Limeys. But I loved Combat. It was good. And I've seen all the Bad Bad Black Sheep ones, but, still kind of neat. I like that F4U Corsair. It's a beautiful airplane. I've been up around several of those up at Oshkosh, and several of them still flying. And the Zeros on there, they always have a bunch of Zeros flying up there at Oshkosh with the rising sun on the side of them. The air crews call them eight balls.
Yeah, I always liked, what was his name, Robert Conrad. He played Pappy Boynton, and I love those planes. And you know, a lot of people don't understand why they did the wings like they did, but they had to do them like that because of the landing gear wasn't long enough. and the propeller would hit the ground if the wings didn't slope down like that. So, but man, those are just beautiful airplanes. And on the ground or in the air, either one.
My favorites, if not my favorite. In the P-38, Lightning was the one with the twin fuselages. Always loved those, and they usually have several of those up at Oshkosh. One of them's called Glacier Gal, and well, they had four beautiful ladies around it in uniform from that era. And Glacier Girl was one that crash landed, I believe, in Labrador or Newfoundland, up in that way. Anyways, it was up around the Arctic Circle, and it was down in the ice. Oh, God, I can't remember how many feet down below the surface, Dave. And they went up there and dug that thing up and refurbished it and made it like new. And that was pretty incredible.
I saw something on Discovery or something about that. It must be nice having that kind of money, but I don't know if he had anybody backing him on that or not, but wow. And you know, the work and the preparation, and then, you know, when you get there, the work. Oh, gosh, I can't imagine. And then getting the plane, I guess, you know, somewhere where you can work on it, fix it back up to you. You know, it looks like something. But anyway, I've been to that big air museum. Remember the name of it? Up in Dayton. It's set up. Military base, and it's really interesting to see, like, the president's President Kennedy's plane, and some of the, I mean, they had tons of planes to look at, indoors and out, and so that was, I think we spent pretty much all day there, and it sure was a lot of fun, a lot of history.
I think it's better than the Smithsonian. It's at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It's still an active Air Force Base up there. And you remember walking through Kennedy's plane with the plexiglass in it, and then Franklin Roosevelt's plane was there, and Truman's plane was there. I was trying to remember the name on the side of it. He named it after his wife. They had everything. They even had that one counter-rotating prop plane that was standing vertical, and which they abandoned. And then my favorite, I think, was the B-70 Valkyrie, which they built several of those, and one of them, there was a T-38 chase plane, and it ran into one of them and crashed it out in the desert, out in California, I think, where they T, and it would fly cruise supersonic, and God, it was gargantuan. That thing was huge. It was white, if I remember rightly. And they dropped it because the ICBMs come into play, and they didn't need a long-range bomber to infiltrate anymore, they didn't think. But yet they still have the B-52. Of course, it's not supersonic by any means. But I love the radials, Dave. The first plane I flew in a flight crew in the Navy was the S-2 Grumman, and the engines sounded like, you know, the F-4U that you're talking about. It was twin engine, 1825 horsepower, or cubic inch, 1525 horse on each one, Pratt & Whitney radial engine, Yeah, it just got a sound to him. It just makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And my uncle's white. He got killed in the SPAD, they called it. It was an A1 Sky Raider and, up at Cherry Point, North Carolina, coming in for a landing. And did a torque roll. The engine was so powerful that if you gunned it right above the runway too much, the aircraft would roll around the engine. I think they were 3350 cubic inch, and a huge engine in them. And they gave those to the South Vietnamese Army, or Air Force rather, right after I went over there, and replaced it with other jet aircraft.
Well, to me, like, they should have gave them to the North Koreans and told them, you know, to gun it, you know, right as they were getting ready to hit the runway. But anyway, well, I guess my favorite prop plane, it wasn't, oh, God, you just said the name of it, the plane that has the engines in a circle, but the P-51 Mustang, I just love that plane, and I've had pilots tell me that they have flown them that they pull to the right because of the torque of the engine, so you have to compensate for that. So I was just really amazed by that, but it is such a beautiful airplane.
What's with you? Not jet aircraft, but Lycoming engines and whatever they got, radials or otherwise. There's a, they watch me probably tell you the name of it. There's a phenomenon that means the prop is turning that way, I guess clockwise. I'm not sure about that. Never did pay attention to it, but they all do that. You have to trim the aircraft up for it, or they will pull to the right. But I agree with you, the P-51 was a beautiful aircraft. Not long after I was, we went to Oshkosh, I think, three times. They went at Bernice three times. And one of them come in to land, and another one come in behind it, and just basically cut him in half, I guess, but crashed right there at Oshkosh. But, boy, if you ever get a chance to go to that, it's worth every penny. It's the busiest airport in the world during that week. on, I guess, takeoffs and landings. I don't know. They got that flag that goes around the control tower that says the busiest airport. I don't know if it's just the United States or the world, but there's... It says it on the control tower anyways during that week up there. But you see a little bit of everything.
That was the end. All right, so KP4CPA, I think I missed giving my call about four times. But anyway, there it is. Sorry about that. Well, I could talk about birds. I'm not real crazy about flying, but unless I was at the controls. And then, you may not want me at the controls. I don't know. But anyway, well, my HF antenna is down, and I am in the funk, man. I am just totally funked out about that. You know, I just don't know what to do.
Well, what do you need to put it back up there?
About a 50-foot telephone pole and some way to anchor it and make it stand straight up, and eventually and put the other end of the antenna on that, and then shoot the other end over the back over the oak tree that's still standing.
So you don't have a telephone pole, I guess is what you're saying. I thought yours was up over trees.
But again, I tell you, I can't teach you anything. But yeah, they were until yesterday. We had three sweet gum trees and an oak. And guess which ones I got cut down yesterday? The three sweet gum. I called my neighbor because they get in his yard. And I said, I got some bad news, John. It's bad. I don't know if I can even tell you. It's so bad. But I'm going to have to tell you. So here goes. I said, unfortunately, you're not going to have to put the sweet gum balls anymore because we're having them cut down today.
Thanks. Yeah, we had one of those up in Kansas, and my daughter's got several of them over there by her her lake house, and they're a pain in the butt.
I guess I wouldn't mind them so bad if, you know, but we have a deck, and what happens is they, and it's downhill, and so, you know, I'm there trying to cut the grass, and I'm just busting my rear end and falling and despite everything I do. And you can't, I mean, you just can't get them up fast enough. When you get them up one day, it looks like you ain't done nothing the next. And it was just so aggravating. And they were, and of course, they were up against one side of the downhill side of the of the deck because of the slope, and you know they were just gathering in that corner and just getting deeper.
They're a pain in the gluteus maximus, I'll say that. And they're kind of stickery anyways. Well, you mentioned a telephone pole. I got to tell you a story that happened many, many years ago back up in Kansas. There's a lot of little mining towns that just disappeared, coal mines. And anyways, my buddy and me were in the CB at the time. Would have been in the 70s, I guess. So there was a railroad that was defunct. It wasn't used anymore. But there were telegraph poles out there, and they used copper-clad steel wires on them and that, but most of the wires were all down. So we decided we'd go out there and liberate one of those telephone poles. And Tobe had a car, and so we went out there and took a chainsaw and cut it down. You know, we was, oh gosh, I suppose it was before I ever went in the service. I know it was. So we was 16, 17 years old or so. And we cut that telephone pole down and chained it up. It was old dirt roads there in Kansas at that time. It still would be, I'm sure. So we chained it up behind his car or truck. I don't remember which one he had at the time. In the car, like, you know, bandits. And we drug that thing all the way back out to Tobe's house, which was, oh, probably 10 miles. And to our surprise, when we got there, about half of the telephone pole was gone, Dave, because of the friction of pulling along the road.
Probably got 50% of that, KB4 CBA. You know, the area I'm on, Wade Hampton, going by the high school, I mean, it just went completely dead. I lost the repeater completely for about a mile. I mean, it's never been that bad. It's usually just kind of, you know, real noisy. I mean, it was like, you know, it was just totally gone. So I don't know what's going on. Good Lord. But anyway, maybe that's my sign. I just need to get out of amateur radio altogether.
This is N0TR. No, it's always bad in that area. There was an urgent cure down in there, too. I remember that. And, oh, I think about when you get to Pleasantburg, it comes back in Pleasantburg Drive. But I was saying that my buddy and I went out to this old, there's a defunct railroad, and the lines were all down on these poles. They were copper-clad steel when we were, 16, 17 years old, and he wanted it for a CB antenna. So we cut it down with a chainsaw like we was Bonnie and Clyde, you know. But no, there wasn't even half the rails were gone out there on that railroad. It just wasn't used anymore, way out in the country. And we chained it up behind his car and pulled it back out to his house. He had a trailer house way out in the country. But the funny thing is, by the time we got there, we were just kids. We never thought about this, but from the friction of dragging that along the dirt roads, the telephone pole, a third of it, was just about all gone from the friction, Dave. We felt kind of dumb.
KB4CBA. I've done stuff similar. But, you know, live and learn. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know if I'm gonna put this antenna back up or, you know, try to hide something back there. You know, because it's my whole backyard is just, you know, it's like about a 45 degree angle down. It finally levels out about 5-6 feet from the my property line, and I was telling the guys yesterday they were putting their stuff on over the line, and I told them, I said, you know, you can't do that. I said this guy, well, the guy that lives behind me, I mean, he come out the back door screaming. So I told him, I said, you know, keep the stuff on my side of the line. I showed him the two fences. I said, you can line it up from end to end and figure out, you know, if you're standing on his property or mine. And so they were real good about it, I tell you. They did some damage to my Bermuda sod, but I'm hoping I can revive it. We'll see about that. That's going to be interesting.
It's classified as a weed, so it can be repaired easy enough, I think, Dave. We got fescue up here. But yeah, I don't have to put up with that out here. My 160-meter antenna goes over my neighbor's house to the east, where Dave Watson used to live. It's behind their house. It doesn't go directly over it. And then it goes over our house. In the backyard, and then it goes over Tim's house next door, and it goes over Kathy's house and ties down to her fence over there to the west, and I think it's, 265 feet? So we don't have to put up that HOA. You can get a spider beam, which works really well, and they're not very noticeable. And if anybody asks you what it is, they look like the old days when you hung your clothes outside on those things that look like a spider beam. Just tell them it's a clothesline pole. They don't have to know.
I miss HF, and I mean, dang, you know, I got all that equipment sitting in there and can't use it. all dressed up, nowhere to go.
Well, the other option is you can get a vertical, and it just depends. I've talked to a lot of guys that had a vertical, and they work, but I was always taught in the old days that they radiate badly equally in all directions.
Had one to begin with, and of course, he got that beam, I can't remember the name, it starts with an M. But anyway, hang on a second here. All right. Gotta get everything situated so I can pull in the driveway. And he offered to sell me that vertical he had. He said, you won't be able to talk to anybody, you know, within 300 miles of you, but after that, you know, you can. And so I don't know. The problem is, he had it like 50 feet in the air, and I can't do that. Even in my backyard, I can't do that.
He lied and cheated Chad out of that. I heard him. Jerry was trying to give it to Newham, and we all know it. Jerry knows it, I know it, and Chad knows it, and everybody else knows it, that he cheated him out of it. And he lied and said that he was in a... he said that Chad was in an HOA. So I don't have much respect for his knowledge or ability. And he called me down on here one day for illegal transmission. So I don't pay much attention to that moron. But at any rate, Dave, the vertical works, but he had a rotatable dipole. I told him it was no good. ND7J told him it was no good. And everybody else he talked to, and he was telling us how good it was going to be before he ever bought it, and we told him not to. And he did anyways. So there's the rest of the story. But that one that he cheated that old lady out of is a Mosley, and it's a great antenna. It really is. Her husband died, and she wanted it to go. He wanted it to go to Newham and give it away. But I was on here that day, and he said, oh, no, you can't have that. He told Gary, he's in an HOA, which was a lie, and he knew it. So now you know the rest of the story. Anyways, I'll let you go. I got to go out and visit the chickens. Take care, Dave. Good to hear you. KP4CBA in 0TR.
All right, Tom. Well, I'm going to pull this thing in the garage, and the wife's been down at Isle of Palms, and of course we all been down there at MUSC. Grandson did real good, and with his surgery, and so he has to take it easy for 10 days, but that's gonna be hard to do for a 12-year-old. Anyway, you have a good one. And I will talk to you later in 0TR, KP.
If you need any help with that, I can be of help, which isn't much, especially right now, before I have surgery. But feel free to holler at me. KP4CBA in 0TR, 73.
Hey, Dave. We're sailing in 4DJC.
Wind blowing that antenna around on the repeater, that's making it really bad today, Jerry. How you doing?
It kind of comes and goes. It was really solid. I'm on a handheld right now, Anderson. It was really solid a couple of minutes ago, 10 minutes before that. You can barely hear anything for the static.
Out of 5x5, there's a lot of white noise with you. I could tell you was on a handy talkie. But I haven't been out to visit the birds yet, but it says 62 degrees, and it feels like it's 56 degrees. I believe it. There it went down to 55. It's gusting to 11 mile an hour now, but it looks faster than that. When you look at my American flag out back, it's straight out.
It was a gust as hard yesterday. I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out work a few stations. Well, it was going 35, 40 miles. I mean, it felt like it was 40 degrees. I told Lynn, I said, I got to go back inside. I can't take this. But anyway, is the audio okay on it so time? I know it's low, but does the audio sound okay?
This is N0TR. Yeah, it's just fine, Jerry. No problem. It's just... I'm pretty sure it's just the wind up there on the tower today, and Patrick said there's a bad connection up there too, or a bad bracket or something up there was letting it flop around some that needs to be fixed. But You'd have to ask him about it. I can't remember just exactly what it was. But seemed like years ago when they did some work on it or something, it changed the directional pattern of it a little bit. And not necessarily for the better. But at any rate, it works fine here for me.
Solid feel on my mobile, you know, upstairs, just handheld. It used to be a little better than it is now, but it's still down in the hole anyway. And running 5 watts from rubber duck is not the best way to get into the computer anyway. I have you back inside. I just want to step outside a second and say hello. But when it's gusting, it's getting cool, you need the coat on top. Don't catch any bugs or anything else. Yeah, when you're out there, but I'll say W3 to you and talk to you a little bit later on. It's your TRM4DKC. W3 time.
Great to hear you, Jerry, as always. Yeah, I got, now it says it's 62, but it's 25% humidity, and that makes it cold, even at that temperature. And it feels like 57 out there. And it bothers me immensely where my lungs attach to my rib cage. And then if I breathe it in, it bothers my congestive heart failure. So I'm not going to be out there very long, but I better get to going and shut this thing off, or Bernice is going to slap me around a little bit here. Take care, Jerry. N4DJC, N0TR, 73.